Guys, this is Optimus Fields at My Living Truth, and we're back for another Teacher's Lounge. We got a packed class today. We're at block height 677,242, and the current price is $59,163 per Bitcoin. So, guys, what a week.
I think we haven't hit 60K.
I know, just for what's the deal, dude? I thought you had the big money bags over there.
Oh my gosh. No, but we're just hanging out. But all this bullish energy over the past week.
I'm trying, guys. I'm stacking right now.
Yeah, dude. Winekus, what are you doing, dude? You let me down. All right, guys.
Somebody help.
Someone buy. Jessifer, should we do the questions first and then get into the new stuff? Yeah, we should. I think we should do that. We'll do some of them.
Yeah, let's do some questions.
Actually, let me see who's in here. Sorry, guys. Need to see who's in the chat. All right, so I'm pretty sure everyone's been here before. Guys, you already know the deal. If you guys have a question, don't be shy. Unmute yourself. Ask the question. You have a room full of Bitcoiners that are really nice guys. Don't listen to the propaganda. Okay. I think the first one will go with why is it good to remain anonymous? Jessifer, this is one of your questions. You actually been getting really good questions lately. So I don't know. Is there context to this, or are we just going to talk about it?
It came up at one of the meetups that I went to. I think they pieced together that there's a whole bunch of NIMs, or like anonymous people in our chat and on Twitter. I mean, everybody that experiences Twitter just sees laser eyes everywhere and they think, oh my God, what's going on? But, you know, also a lot of Bitcoiners remain anonymous. So I was hoping we could shed a little bit of light on that question.
Well, I got a question for you. When you're at your meetups, do you use your real name, or are you Thomas Jessifer?
We usually separate it so we can have like our meet space names. So, you know, I can introduce myself with my real name. But then we kind of just, when it comes to like chats and stuff, we'll only use handles, you know, just in case or whatever.
Well, I mean, like this is what I was thinking about for Bitcoin conference. It's like, it's a pretty big conference. So it felt weird when I thought about it of like, am I going to tell people my real name or just tell everyone I'm Optimus? Because, like, if you dox your real name and then everyone's going to call you Optimus, it's like, I don't know. I feel like I'm just going to go with the anonymous name. I like, Nico knows my name and he forgot it because he only...
Oh, no, I know your fucking name, dude. I know your name. I didn't forget shit, bro.
you drunkenly told me that.
Y'all my boys, dude. If I ever get wrecked, then I know who I'm coming to. It's
you guys will never fucking guess what his name is. It's like out of left field, bro.
Hey, it's a good name. I'm not going to lie.
And listen, he's not a robot. I've confirmed.
Confirmed, yeah. Confirmed I'm not a robot. I'm not a figment of your guys' imagination. But I mean, Nico, let's ask you, because you kind of straddled that line of being anonymous and being a part of the Bitcoin business. So I think you have a good perspective.
I dude, I don't have a choice, right? Like, I have to say my name. But however, I try to obfuscate my last name as much as possible. So, like, it's hard to find. Of course, like, Winekus and Sharon have known me for fucking ever, so, or she, so, like, they know me, but,
to pay a million sats, I'll reveal it. I'll reveal Nico's last name for a million sats.
But yeah, man, it's just the better...
Nico.
What's up?
Nico, man, you also taught me the hard way, man. The first time I sent you from my main address, you're like, never do that again, here's your lesson, friend. I'll always use a different address. I'll never forget it.
Let's go.
Yeah, man. I mean, look, it's just
add into this discussion after.
Yeah.
Dude, just don't want fucking people online. Like, the less they know, the better, you know? Especially, like, especially if they know that you've been in Bitcoin for, like, a couple of years, man. Like, you know, you don't want that shit.
There's the whole OPSEC, like, part of it, but there's also the whole, like, ego control part of it. So if you are, like, a big name, for instance, what's been happening in the last week with Eric Weinstein and Lex Fridman, like, they seem to be triggered, and people are recommending, like, you should have an anonymous account and, like, actually dig in and, like, find the answers that you want, you know?
Nabismo.
No, the world. Yeah, sorry.
I'll go, Nico. You can jump in.
No, yeah, I was just gonna say, like, the world is getting the truth doesn't seem to matter anymore, right? It's just the person who has the bigger platform, and I don't know, man. It's just better, just not, you know. It's just better, not to get noticed, like, while everyone's like fighting over like fiat society, you know. So you know, like, Bitcoin's going to take over, right? So it's just better just, like, keep your head down, keep stacking sats. Just avoid that shit, you know? Like, I got super carried away, like, last election cycle because, like, I'm from Venezuela and, like, communism fucked up the whole country. So I get really passionate about that shit. But, like, you know, like, every, you know, past whatever. But I think it was Max Kaiser, and he said it so well. And it, like, it literally stuck in my mind. He says, Bitcoin gives you the ability to, like, not to have to give a shit about politics, right? Because, like, you're in a lifeboat. You don't have to care about any of that shit, you know? So, like, I don't know, man. It's just better to keep your head down in times like these. Like, remember when and look, they already started going after Bitcoiners too. Like, there's a couple people, there's, like, I think, like, two predominant blue check marks on Twitter were, like, saying, like, calling for violence against Bitcoiners, you know? And I don't suspect that to stop, especially, like, if the price of Bitcoin keeps going where it's going. And let's say, like, inflation does happen. Like, it wouldn't surprise me at all if they use Bitcoin as some type of scapegoat. Because there's no way those fucking bankers are taking any type of responsibility, right? You know, it has to be someone else's fault. So yeah, man, it's just better to keep your head down.
Yeah, but that's why you're half Anon or whatever, right? It's kind of like, because you gotta show people it's not just anonymous freaks. You kind of like every freaks, but, you know, we're smart and we're not, I don't think that we're doing anything wrong. We're just minding our own business. I feel like people can't stand them. But I'm happy to not be fully Anon either. And I think there's a method to the madness. Wyatt made a great point that you can use both tools for whatever you need. So I think both are handy.
I agree.
Nabismo, do you want to say your comment for the audio listeners if you're not being shy tonight?
Of course. A cell phone and a search engine are really a hacker's best friend in finding just more and more information that they can enumerate from all the different sources and just piece together a profile of you, start putting together past addresses. That's when you can start doing the really fun stuff like changing bank accounts, that kind of all sorts of nefarious stuff with information that's just floating around in public. A lot of it's public record too.
Yeah, like, I agree, and I think Facebook, and, like, I don't have a Facebook, I don't have an Instagram. I think, you know, I think those are, like, a big fucking no-no, just because it's exactly what you're saying, bro. Like, a hacker, that's the first thing they're gonna look for, right? They're gonna try to, like, paint a picture of you to try to figure out how to social engineer, to try to either, you know, get you to tell them something, you know, that could reveal a password or a passphrase or, you know, something like that. Like, don't underestimate people's commitment to try to take away your sats, right? And obviously, you know, there's the physical attack. I think that's the one that everyone worries about, the $5 wrench attack. But I, you know, that's just, you could, I say you'd mitigate, there's no way to know, right? The way to mitigate against that would be obviously a multi-sig, like a multi-sig setup. But yeah, man, you don't want people finding out your last name. You don't want people finding out, like, you don't want people finding, you know, pictures of you with your family. The less they know of you, the better. It's just, you know, so it's like a really thin line that you have to cross. Like, what do you feel comfortable with? And a lot of the Anons, I think, are doing it a lot better, right? Because imagine like 5 or 10 years from now when like Bitcoin's at like $2 or $3 million, like, bro, Twitter's like the shopping list for anybody, you know?
Wrecked.
I think something important to keep in mind too is like, once you dox, like, you know, that you are like, you know, John Smith that owns Bitcoin, you can't really go back. So like, it's not like once you do it, like, you need to commit to it. So, you know, like, if you want to get like a business development job at like a high end company in Bitcoin, you don't, you may need to actually dox your name. But if you're just like a lonely pleb stacking sats, like, just stay anonymous. Like, there's no downsides to that. And like, you can always like start out anonymous, and once like, you know, you're ready to start like, you know, finding that like huge job that you want, then you can like, you know, start using your real name.
There's times where I wish I didn't even tell like friends or family that I was buying Bitcoin, because like, obviously you're so passionate about it and you want to tell the world and like teach them about it. But man, like, when this shit hits where we're supposed to, I don't know. You see people's like personalities and stuff change towards you, and obviously who knows what else comes with that.
Wisdom.
It's true. You guys are kind of tapping into something that like, I think Bitcoiners understand really well, is that information has value. I mean, because, you know, here we're concerned about, you know, our personal information, like our names, addresses, social security number, if that even means anything anymore. But also information having value, like, we've got our 12-word seed phrase, and it's not held in any physical capacity. It's only held in information. And the location of that information, like where you're keeping your seed phrase, like, that's all, like, all the value of our Bitcoin is tied up in just that information.
The beautiful thing is that if you are a Bitcoiner and you're 100% in BTC and you're taking the right measures as far as multisig and things like that, then you pretty much have not that much to worry about. Like, even a $5 wrench attack can get pretty, and, you know, like, that's like the last resort. But if, right, somebody has like your online identity, yeah, they can beat you to death, but like, whatever, you still have.
Don't flaunt your fucking wealth. don't flaunt your wealth. I think that's like a very important, you know, because I see some people on Twitter, bro, like, goddamn, but like, yeah, just don't flaunt your wealth. Just don't say nothing. You know, just stay exactly what Matt O'Dell says. Stay
humble. Dude, you do it for the tech, bro. You don't have any Bitcoin. You do it for the tech.
We're all here for the tech. Did you guys see? I'm blanking on whose thread it was, but over the weekend, someone did a thread on how they got $5 wrench to track, and hence why they're working on like multi-sig setup. They're working for
I saw that.
It's like, I don't know how to say it, but like do something.
Did he actually get his Bitcoin stolen?
Yeah, dude. So he like tried to fake him out. He tried to give him I'm pretty sure he was using Cold Card. I'm trying to look for the thread, but he tried to give them like a dummy wallet. And they didn't believe him, and then they were, I guess, like, essentially like torturing him. And then he tried to give him his second dummy wallet, and they still didn't believe him. And then so he just like essentially eventually crumbled and sent them his Bitcoins. And like, that's why his life work now is working on getting a a really streamlined multi-sig setup for people. So let me see if I can find the thread. Yeah, it's kind of heavy.
Dude, that sucks.
If I can find, yeah, if I can find the thread, I'll put it in the chat in the descriptions. But it was a pretty crazy thread.
I think Rodolfo, I think Rodolfo responded to it. So if you can't find it, like on its own, you might want to look through his replies.
All right. But Nico, what were you gonna say?
Yeah.
Or
no, man. Like,
I have a question. So if Hyper Bitcoin, when Hyper Bitcoinization is here, the $5 wrench attack will be, you know, a thing of the past because everyone's holding Bitcoin. So who are you gonna hit? Obviously, is it's a tough thing because people with a lot of Bitcoin obviously will have access to a lot of security, and I don't know. I don't think it's a really big issue in the long term, maybe short term for certain. That multi-sig kind of takes care of. But I guess my question is like, in a hyper Bitcoinized world, is everyone robbing each other? Like, you know, what's going on?
Well, it's like, I mean, we have the same like problems today. Like, you know, people get mugged on the street. Like the nice thing is like, you know, if someone pulls a gun on you on the street and wants to take your money, if they kill you, they can't take it. Like, you know, they still need like the password from you on your phone or whatever. So you still have like a mitigation there. And like, I think the real problem now is like, you know, because we're having like this monetization event where, you know, Bitcoin is accumulating by like thousands of X. So, you know, there's a problem now where like, you know, people turning $100 into $1 million. So there's, you know, there's a lot higher incentive where people have like if you own Bitcoin, you likely have a lot of money versus like, you know, if you own dollars, you can be, you know, broke or a billionaire. So there's like this weird, I don't know, like bias towards like Bitcoiners being wealthy right now that makes attacking them more profitable than.
I was thinking about this the other day. Like, if you just look at high net worth individuals right now and in the fiat world, like people know they have money, like there's public figures. And I don't know, like, to what extent are people thinking, like, oh, I need to get, like, this dude's, I need to rob his house, or I don't know, you know, like, we know that people have money and acknowledge it, but like,
so at what right, but point do they not feel secure? Bitcoin is a bearer asset, so it's like, you can't call the bank and be like, oh, this happened, and like, you know, have like FDIC insurance or whatever, you know, like, once the money is gone, once your Bitcoin are gone, like there's nobody who's going to make you whole again, which is the difference.
Yeah, I guess that's the difference with like a custodian. It's like, if you want to rob this rich dude, you're going to have to like go to the bank with him or something.
It's honestly, the way that I see it, the $5 wrench attack, it's a crime of opportunity, right? So, and someone that would be willing to do that type of attack is someone that obviously doesn't have a lot to lose. Right. So like the less that you put out there, the better. Right. Because, man, like you start flaunting your wealth on Twitter, you know, and like stuff like that, bro. Like, man, it takes is that one guy, you know, that one guy that's just having a bad day and he's just having a shitty life. And he just sees that you're the easiest target, you know, and it's, bro, it's game over.
Forget like flaunting wealth. Like there's already reputable people in the Bitcoin space. Like, who's to say somebody's not going to want to try to like $5 wrench attack Dan Held or something like that, you know?
I mean, bro, but they live in the States,
like,
dude.
You can write like blog posts about Bitcoin and then like you're exposing yourself, I guess.
Honestly, I haven't heard any like big name $5 wrench attacks in the States, right? I have heard many stories of it happening overseas a lot. But I haven't heard any big stories of it happening in the States.
Yeah, I think it's just like Bitcoin mentality to just be like extra paranoid, right?
Yeah, I mean, me and Nico were talking last night and I was like, the more multi-sig becomes streamlined and easier to use, the more valuable Bitcoin will become. And we've been talking about that for a little bit. Because it's just the more steps I have to hop through to get a good multi-sig setup and just the difficultiness of it and just practicing it and you know, just like that guy that happened to him, and now he's making it like a mission to like help people. So I just think that's like a good a point of like a scaling for Bitcoin, like a multi-sig.
Yeah, I agree with all you guys, because I've thought about this in the past, and I think it's kind of like what you guys are saying. It's in my mind, it's sort of like a short-term problem for Bitcoiners, because in the future, like if we're right, everyone's going to have Bitcoin. So I don't believe that, you know, like there was always be people getting robbed, but I don't think that Bitcoiners in particular will be like targeted and sought after. It'll just be like, okay, like I don't like this motherfucker. He's got money and I don't. It's not going to be like, oh, I know this guy's got Bitcoin. Let me, you know, follow him home. You know, like I like it's got hot on his license plates. Let's go to his house and rob him. So I think in a long enough time span, you guys are 100% right that these kinks will get ironed out and we'll be able to figure it out. But in the short term, you know, like Bitcoin is a bearer asset. So once it's gone, it's gone. And it's something that we have to worry about. Like I've said it before, we're all kind of sacrificial lambs at this point, because we're the first humans to interact with this technology. And, you know, like it's not perfect yet, but it's good enough. And so we're all just trying to figure out and learn the best we can and make sure that we make it and we don't get wrecked and we don't self-wreck ourselves. So, I mean, it's definitely something people need to think about, especially when you're new in this space, because I can only think, you know, how many bad mistakes I've made throughout the years and learning. So, you know, if we can minimize the time it takes for people to learn this, then I think we'll all be better in the long run. But who knows how long this will take, you know. I'm thinking like long term, but it's definitely something we have to consider. It's like Weineke said, you know, sometimes I wish I didn't tell people that I was a Bitcoiner. But once you get orange pilled, it's kind of hard to not tell people and be like, look, wake up, stupid. You know, like Bitcoin's here. What are you complaining about? Like, but I don't know. I digress. Anyone want to chime in real quick?
I just want to throw one last thing on there. If this is like your really big concern, well, then buy guns or 3D print them and, you know, actually take self-defense like seriously.
Get them, Ben. Get them. All right. Yeah, well,
that's a good point. And also, if you're a public Bitcoiner, make sure that every other post that you post is a picture of a gun.
Yep.
I think I need to get my pictures out, dog.
I'm gonna Google gun pics.
No. Like, bro, he's not kidding, dude.
I know he's not. I know he is.
I have a bazooka.
Right, by the way.
What was that, Nika?
Yeah, no, you definitely have to pack, bro, for sure. I at least do, but like it's you have to, man. You have to. Feel safer.
You feel safer. Yeah.
Go to Japan.
All right. Jennifer, you think we hit that topic good enough for your meetup? Gave him enough
meat. I love it, and the whole price appreciation piece, like the we live in a short time frame where, like this stuff really matters before, you know, the value starts kind of leveling off. I thought that was a really important piece that Ben dropped. But Ben, yeah, I think we answered it completely.
Ben always Sailor's killing us. Go.
Sailor thinks. Taylor has said many times publicly he thinks that Bitcoin is $100 trillion asset. That's 100x from here, boys.
Woof.
The 100x.
Ever, Laura.
Bearish.
100x.
Bearish.
Where's that?
Oh, man.
Listen, bro. 100x is life-changing, okay?
Agreed.
For anybody. For anybody, dude. 100x is retarded.
What Weinikus, what was the Michael Saylor thing he just said to Laura? What did he say again?
Oh, yeah. He said it's going up forever, Laura.
It's going up forever.
No. He was like, you sound like a crypto trader. It was funny.
Oh man. Yeah, that was a good clip. good clip. Everyone should go find that one. Well, on this point, we got this other question. This is, see, Jessifer has just got these fire questions. And this question was, do orange pills and blue pills live in different world? And in the sense of, like people, cause you know, all of us are orange pilled. You know, if you're here on Bitcoin Kindergarten, then, you know, you're orange pilled as fuck. And especially in this past year and recently around, you know, your normie friends, it does seem like we're all living in different realities and we're all in our own little reality bubbles. And so like my view on that would be, yes, you know, the orange pill and the blue pill are definitely in different realities. But I guess just to add on that, do you think we can pull some people out of the blue pill, or are they, it's just something they're going to have to do by themselves?
They won't have a choice, dude.
Oof.
Or they'll stay poor. It's like, you know, like that's it. And it's awesome, dude, because the communists are going to be the last ones to buy Bitcoin. It's going to be fucking great. But yeah, man, like it's, you know, a lot of people specifically like, man, it Bitcoin's incentives are so strong that any ideology that you hold, it just completely destroys, right? So and you know, it's like that old age adage that we've been saying for I don't know how long, you don't change Bitcoin changes you, right? Dude, I don't know how many people I've met that like the moment that they've actually started holding and custodying their own Bitcoin, it's changed how they look at the world, right? So, man, if you want an orange pill, like you know, someone who's on the blue pill, bro, like, dude, as soon as they buy Bitcoin or start holding Bitcoin, they're gonna end up thinking like you, just because like that, like, man, that's what self sovereignty does, you know? It just changes how you look at the world, right? So, but man, look. I think it was Michael Saylor that said it, like, you know, you deserve the price that you get in, right? So I'm sick and tired, bro. I spent five years of my life, dude, like trying to orange pill as many people as possible. They didn't fucking listen. And they started listening like, you know, this year or the year before, right? So it just gets frustrating, bro. Like, like how much do you have to do that? You know, like at one point, you know, because it just gets it. Some people like they react aggressively. Some people react in denial. You know, it's like your job like should be to tell them one time, like, you know, once, twice. You know, if it's a family member or like a girlfriend, like obviously, you know, like be more on top of it. But like, I think your job should be to like tell people the truth about Bitcoin and to, you know, help them custody it and like, you know, help them hold their hand. But bro, like, dude, why should I waste my energy trying to orange pill someone that doesn't want to be orange pilled? You know, like you have to be ready. Like it's like the Matrix scene, you know, like some people are not willing, like some people shouldn't be woken up from the Matrix because it's too much of a shock. Like I've run into many people like that, you know, that they're just like, they don't believe it, right?
I think you're right, dude. Just like, Andrew, I'll let you jump in because I saw you unmuted yourself. But
oh, how kind of you! Thank you.
Yeah.
I totally agree with Nico's point. Like, I always tell people that the orange pill leads to the blue pill, and I think it was you, Optimist, that said you always say number go up cures all. So like, I've had friends that like, for years I've tried to get them in Bitcoin, and I talked to them about like sound money and why fiat is like the biggest scam on the planet. And once they actually buy Bitcoin and profit on it, like they're totally sound money advocates. So I don't know. I think there's so many lies right now today. And for people who buy Bitcoin, like they, you know, now have the best form of money on the planet. And at the same time, these people are listening to Janet Yellen and Christine Lagarde say that they're printing trillions of dollars for, you know, something COVID related. And it's like, you have to ask yourself, okay, why are these people printing so much money for a disease that has a 0.1% death rate? Like, how does that make sense? So my point is, I think like so many, basically everything is tied to money, and the money we have is so fucked up and so corrupted. And it's like this disease that just, you know, travels to everything and creates wars and gives the government all this power and just creates this huge, you know, megalithic state. So anyways, long story short, I definitely think the orange pill leads to the blue pill, but I will not waste my time trying to orange pill so many people.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing. I can only think of how much mental energy and frustration I've had trying to convince people that weren't ready for it. And now I just kind of like, all right, you know, like they know I'm a Bitcoiner and they'll ask me about it. And when they ask me about it, I'll, you know, I'll give them the quick shill. And then, you know, if they don't ask anymore, then I'm just like, all right, I got to shut up now. It's a little harder when you get a few drinks in, because all you want to do is just pour it out. But I think people, you know, people will come when they're ready. Or
yeah, for sure.
Or shoot it.
The Bitcoiners like are operating on a higher level of consciousness. And I don't know, like, I think we just see the world a different way. We know how to silence noise and like just not subscribe to bullshit. And not only that, like, it just changes your way of life. I mean, I've been doing a lot of Bitcoin-y type stuff before. I've been holding Bitcoin, just like the saving mentality, like consuming less and just like taking advantage of the time we have here, you know?
Wisdom.
Wisdom. And memes.
That really resonates, because I mean, as soon as some of my friends get their stimulus checks, it's like out the door already. They're like, how am I going to spend this before it even arrives? Instead of like Bitcoiners, like I'm stacking in advance. I'm going to save this, and it's never going to come out of cold storage. And it makes me do think that, you know, orange pills and blue pills live in completely different worlds. In addition to that, from Nathaniel Whitmore's one of his long reads, he's kind of talking about like depression memes and like kind of taking off with like millennials and Zoomers, just because they get so frustrated at being unable to change like the system that they live in. Whereas like in Bitcoin, it's all open source, so part of the free and open source software is that it's not free as in gratis, but it's like the freedom to be able to change and modify, you know, the software that you run and the rules that you live by. And I think that's a really powerful force for hope, which like that's just what screams out of every Bitcoiner that I get to talk to, is that, you know, they've got hope for the future because they have Bitcoin and they understand it.
I think like Bitcoiners in general are just optimistic people. And the fact that we don't subscribe to all the bullshit that people are obsessed with these days, it's just, we're able to like see a brighter future. And it's kind of like depressing being around all those people talking about who the fuck the president is and all that shit. And like, the fact that I don't have to give a shit about that is amazing, number one. But I don't know, like, people just love being a victim and like playing that role.
That's because Bitcoin literally gives you hope, right? Like, Bitcoin gives hope, right? And fiat like is depressing. Like, it's fiat in itself is depressing, right? So, and a lot of people don't know there's a better system, right? Because it's like it's too good to be true, right? It kind of hurts you with Bitcoin, especially the older you are. The older you are, the harder it is to overcome that like, you know, that reaction, right? Because that reaction usually saves you, right? That's too good to be true. You know, that usually saves you, right? But when it comes to Bitcoin, it like hurts you, right? So, and then there's like people that are just not like, they have something to lose with Bitcoin succeeding. So they'll just, you know, it's all those people, fuck them. They're going to have fun staying poor.
I think another thing too is like a lot of people just don't recognize that like it's the money that is the problem with the world right now. Like a lot of people just like defer to the media and be like, oh, we just need to increase taxes one more time to fix all the problems. And, you know, the government will solve it if we just vote the right people in this time. And a lot of people just fall into that fallacy and they don't recognize like that they're just trying to solve the symptoms of the problem, where the real problem is the actual money. And, you know, once like, especially like for me, when I realized that, I'm like, oh, okay, this makes way more sense. And like, you know, this is why like we need to, you know, like Bitcoin kind of like incentivizes you to learn this thing and figure out like, you know, it's not that, you know, we don't have high enough taxes that my life is shit. It's because me and everyone around me is saving in a money that's being debased. And, you know, if we fix that problem, then obviously, as we all know, the world will be better for it. And I think once people come to understand that, or at least a significant chunk of people understand that, it'll be like a lot easier to like start orange pilling people.
I completely agree. And, you know, honestly, I'm so excited because right now the world, the base layer of the world is based on lies. It's based on corruption. It incentivizes lies. It incentivizes bad behavior, right? We're heading into a world that's based on Bitcoin. That means it's based on truth. That means it incentivizes the best out of people, right? That's a really hopeful world, you know? So I'm really excited, yeah. And that's definitely where we're going.
That's exactly. Ben and Nico, you crushed that, guys. I mean, right on, you know? I mean, if you're willing to make mistakes, you're willing to learn, and I think most people aren't. And so they defer to, like, their whoever their god is. Fox News or whatnot, or whatever news channel, CNN, whatever they these days, New York Times, I don't even know. You reel off anything that anyone was reading before, you know, the internet came about, and just you learn more in a forum from other people. You learn more on Bitcoin Twitter from a pleb than you do from any media you're consuming, and I think that's powerful. And I think, like you said, like, you know, Bitcoiners don't give a fuck. They're willing to do whatever. It's awesome.
Preach. I think like what Ben said, that's one of the things I've learned in my frustration trying to orange pill my friends, is you tell them why Bitcoin's good, and this is because we're, you know, I'm in the States, and, you know, like, as far as anyone I know is concerned, they have the best money in the world. You know, the dollar is the standard across the world. And so they don't grasp why they need a better money. And so it's a tiring pitch when you have to, like, well, let's start with, you know, the Federal Reserve in 1913. You're like, dude, what the hell does this have to do with our money? And so there's definitely a huge learning curve that people need to understand the Bitcoin promise when they're so instilled in fiat servitude. So I think, you know, in time people will learn this, but until then, you know, it's like Nico said, they'll have fun staying poor. Oh, man, I love that meme. But this is actually a good segue into one of our other questions. And this is something that I have been learning recently. And I know kind of this is, I guess, in small part how I got into Bitcoin, but the question is, does only number go up turn normie heads? Like, is number go up the only thing? Like, and Andrew said it, like I have said before, you know, number go up cures all things. So, you know, like, I think the simple shill for people is just thinking Bitcoin dies and then the price continues to go up. Have you guys encountered that with your friends and people around you, where they don't take you seriously with Bitcoin when it's, you know, 3K, 9K, but now that it's 50, 60K, they're like, okay, maybe there's something here, you know, like, and then you're like, yeah, well, it's going to continue to go up. And, you know, all they really care about is the gains. And But like I like how Alex Vetsky said it. You know, I came for the money and I stayed for the money. So, you know, we all get sucked in with the gains, but then you realize that, like how Ben said, you know, holy shit, it's our money that's fucked up. And if we can fix the money, then most of the world's problems will fix themselves. So are we just all patiently waiting for number to go up so that we can get some more friends and family into the game? And also, will number go up fully orange pill people, or do they have to put in some work themselves? It's not just simply, you know, the price of Bitcoin goes up and then they're instantly orange pilled Bitcoiners.
Let me give you a good test to see how somebody's going to either have fun staying poor or be a Bitcoiner. If you gave somebody one Bitcoin today, what would they do with it? Would they hold it or would they cash out?
Oof. That's a good question. I think
how many people would actually hold on to it?
Yeah, I think I was just about to say, I think the majority of people would sell it.
Let's try.
You got to leverage it.
Let's try.
You'd leverage it, exactly.
I'm going to give you one testnet Bitcoin, Shishi.
Oof, I've been waiting for my time. When, why? It took me a long time to get a testnet. Fuck. Thank you, bro. It's an honor.
I don't have any testnet Bitcoin. What the fuck? I don't even know what that is.
The pre-sale's coming, Nico. Don't worry.
But Bap, how many people do you think would even leverage that Bitcoin? I think that number's few itself as well.
I would, bro. I'd go to Unchained, get a loan.
Yeah, but you're already orange pilled. You already get it. Like, we're talking someone just, you know, that's never had exposure. I think Weinickes is right. They're either going to sell it, and some of them might hold it, and then even, you know, smaller few will leverage it.
But the people don't really know about BlockFi and stuff like that, and I don't, you know, I mean, like, there's a lot of solutions out there that normies are learning about every week, and you know, people are texting me and saying, "Hey, you know, I'm like putting my Bitcoin in BlockFi and gonna borrow and, you know, live on that cash." And I'm like, all right, like, you know, you're getting there. Like, you know, we'll take that all day. So I think, like, it's coming, and it's our job to, like, spread that recognition. Sure.
BlockFi is a ticking time bomb.
Forget leverage. Just who's keeping Bitcoin?
No.
Who's
keeping? I'm not endorsing it. I'm just saying, like, that's what, you know, it's more noob friendly than something like HODL. And no, like, you know, that's a, like,
the reason I like Unchained, right, is because they use a 2 of 3 multi-sig. So, like, for example, like,
so when you got custody.
So when you send them your collateral, you own one key. They have a key, and then, like, a third party has a key. But the collateral that you send, it stays in the address. So you have eyeballs on it, right? It doesn't move. They're not putting it in a pool and rehypothecating it and mix it with all the other funds. Because, bro, the BlockFi people are sketchy, man. The withdrawals are taking longer now. Like, they lowered down the interest rate. Like, bro, some weird things are happening there, man.
Like, weird or predictable.
But, like, look, they just raised a bunch of money. So they have, you know, they have at least 2 or 3 years of cash to burn. But, like, man, that their business model is a ticking time bomb, in my opinion.
Yo, if you were telling me, give me 100% of your Bitcoin and I'll give you 50% back in fiat, I would fucking laugh. I wouldn't do that. Fuck that.
I mean, that's what I did. I just bought more Bitcoin.
Yeah, but, like, I understand taking, like, I said 100%, you know? Like, yeah, no, I understand, like, you know, some people are doing that, and I think that's scary, right?
Who the fuck is doing that?
They're going to have fun staying poor, huh?
Yeah, I'm going to slap them.
For 3-4%, bro, you said it. You said it, right? I'm going to put my Bitcoin on BlockFi and get my little 3-4 rat poison percent.
So, you know? I think there's two types of people that use BlockFi and Unchained and HODL and, like, these, you know, all of these, like, lending services, right? There's the people who are trying to earn interest, and then there's the people who are leveraging it for borrowing power. And I completely agree with everyone on, like, the side of yo, like, I'm not giving up custody for like some measly interest. It's not worth it. But here's the way I kind of look at it is that if you're already all in, and the other alternative when you're all in is to spend your Bitcoin, then I can see how it makes sense to deposit as minimal as possible to know that you're going to have fiat to spend and live on that, and instead of just spend your Bitcoin. That's my take. Well, I'm curious what you all think.
I think it
makes sense.
I like, you know, I love Unchained. I love how they're set up, you know, and I know a lot of people in the company there. So I like the company culture, and I think they have a good product. I think that if you use the right, you know, it's always a risk, right? You know, if it's not your keys, not your Bitcoin, it's obviously there's a major risk, but it's like what you feel comfortable with, right? So let's say, you know, you have one Bitcoin and, you know, obviously you want to live off that, right? Like, you know, you put like 0.25 of that Bitcoin into Unchained or BlockFi or whatever, because you need the cash to live. Yeah, it's definitely a better option than selling your Bitcoin. But at the same time, right, you're giving up custody of your Bitcoin, right? So like, if it does go bottom up, the worst case scenario is that you get none of your Bitcoin back, right?
Well, either way, you would have sold it. So you need it to survive, and you're taking a bet that the interest rate on the loan is going to be less than the price of Bitcoin outperforming it, and then also having to pay capital gains tax on the sale. So like, I think a lot of us will be borrowing in the future.
Yeah, but at better LTVs and with more proven, like Lindy firms,
yeah,
doing
it's
it
still or, early.
Oh yeah, completely. Like if I put 0.1 Bitcoin, I want to have 0.09 fiat borrowing ability. You know, like 50% loan to value is like
no
Bitcoins.
Yeah, but they need that, dude. They need, it's too volatile, man. That's think about it. Like, they need that cushion, bro. Like, even at 50%, it's still very risky for them. I'm telling you, bro. Like, it's still an enormous risk for them, right? Because they're giving you a bunch of fucking cash, right? So like, they need to be able to, like, it needs to be worthwhile for the lender.
Yeah, but once the counterparty realizes that Bitcoin's the most valuable asset on Earth, I think some of that like risk premium is going to come off the table.
I mean, we're like maybe in the future, but we're not there yet. The volatility is too high.
For sure. No, I would agree.
For it to be less.
Would you rather have some shitty house that somebody bought in the middle of nowhere in Kentucky and give them a loan on it at, you know, literally what you just said, 10% down, you could buy a house for 3% down right now. Like, I'm just saying, like, what would you rather hold at the big bank? I'm not talking about Unchained and these little mini shops. I'm talking about in the T's, baby. In the T's. Think in T's, baby.
I think you guys are, like, also kind of, like, undercutting, like, you can just spend Bitcoin and, or, like, you know, sell, like, a few hundred dollars worth, like, you know, at your local meetup, like, KYC free, so you don't need to go through and, like, pay capital gains tax and all that stuff. And, you know, it's not like, it's not that hard to, like live off Bitcoin, especially with like services like, BitRefill, where you can like get a gift card for literally anything you like, basically every store with, just paying in Bitcoin.
I feel like there's a couple of different like use cases that are emerging here. I mean, like for most normies, like, I mean, they only see Bitcoin's price. And they look at it like they would look at any other stock. You know, Bitcoin is an investment. And then I think for like most of us, like Bitcoin is savings. But then there's like a bit more, because we already talked quite a bit about Bitcoin being collateral for a loan, where you can kind of like leverage it for fiat. But also, it could also be like a tool. So say, for example, like I could get a discount for something if I'm willing to pay in Bitcoin, even though I'm not, I'm just using it for my dollar expenses that I would normally do. So like, say for example, like I sometimes buy stuff on Purse, and I'm able to do that, and I just get a like 30%+ discount on like whatever stuff I want to buy off of Amazon. So I just have like regular expenses, and I just use Bitcoin as a sort of a pass through for my expenses to save me a little bit of money. So I think with all those, like we might have different use cases emerging, but I do think it's like kind of the price appreciation. I mean, first people see it as an investment, unfortunately, but
that's the Trojan horse. Get deeper
in. Yeah. As you get deeper in, you start to see all these possibilities emerge.
Can I just jump in and give some numbers? Yeah. So for example, if you took a loan in November last year, let's say $1K. Okay. So $1,000 with 9% interest rate. Yeah. If you close it like today ish, you repay all the percent and you would pocket like $1,900. So you took a loan of $1,000 and then you can pocket $1,900. This math doesn't make any sense, guys. Like if you use Bitcoin as a collateral, you speculatively attack dollar, the numbers are just, you know, it's just insane. They don't make any fucking sense.
What do you mean they don't make sense though? Like, are you saying like, cause they're that good or?
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's like difficult to calculate. It's like you take a loan of 100K, you pay back 190K, and then you profit 1,900K on this deal without losing, like, okay, you have only one key out of three. I understand that. Yeah. If you use like lent, but for me, it's just like free money laying on the road.
It's like, okay, but hold on. Yeah. But wait, you're taking enormous amount of risk, right? Because it cuts both ways, right? We're in a bull market right now, so like everyone looks like a fucking genius. But wait till the reality comes next year, right? You know, so like if you took out a loan, for example, like at the end of the year when Bitcoin's at 220K, and you're like, oh, I'm gonna take out a loan, live off that, you're gonna get fucking wrecked because you're gonna have to keep depositing more so they don't default on the loan. Right.
Obviously.
So, well, depends what your cash flow of fiat is too. So I think like if you're getting paid in Bitcoin, like so let's say even if you're not getting paid directly in Bitcoin and your unit of account is Bitcoin, so everything gets flipped and you're starting from the perspective of Bitcoin, then not all the Bitcoin that you end up selling for your expenses you ever planned on hodling for any long period, but your unit of account is Bitcoin, so you just only work in those numbers, right? And I think liquidation risk is super there, and it's kind of crazy because it's like they can hodl your Bitcoin to infinity and you think you're getting leverage, and I don't know, like,
yeah, basically what happens,
I don't know if the full risk profile has been assessed by like the full risk flow model, and I think Thomas kind of hit it where it's like, you know, on Russell Okung's example is awesome because, you know, Bitcoin, even, you know, he put a tweet out the other day where it made him sad to think about how much convenience played a role in his life. And I think if you're willing to adopt Bitcoin as a unit of account and you stay free and clear of debt, like you'll always win. Like nobody went out of business staying clear of debt, right?
Yeah, but what Michael Saylor says is that now it's time to leverage. And for me, it's very easy. It's like if people are saying, yeah, we're going to $500,000 by the end of the year. It's like, do you really mean it or you just talk nonsense? Yeah, for me, I truly believe that. Yeah. And wait a
Michael
second.
Michael Saylor.
Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
Cash flow.
I was going to say, Michael Saylor has cash flows. He has like 7-year loads. He has a 7-year period and basically zero interest rate. So like,
but it's not though, Isaac, because you could look, bro.
Dude, he can pay it off after two cycles.
Look, do the math.
I did the math. He's killing it.
No, but what I'm trying to say is, like, bro, you can get like a $50,000-$100,000 loan, and the monthly payments aren't going to be more than like $500-$600.
Bro, this guy got a 7-year zero interest loan.
Yeah, but bro, that's my dude. Look, we're not. We're not on that level. We're not on that level.
We don't have like a NASDAQ company that can.
I think that leveraging.
Yeah, but he sold equity to get that, so it's convertible. Yeah. That's why it's such a low interest rate, because people want his stock, but they don't want to pay for it yet because they don't want to start their cost basis before Bitcoin hits a million a coin. It just look, dude. It's financial fuckery. It's not a 0%. Look. Wine's right. He's getting cheap capital because fuck his equity if he can't buy more Bitcoin, right? His equity's worthless to him. If he's a hodler of last resort, like he says he is, well then any equity that he's holding not in Bitcoin is a waste of his time. If he doesn't have enough money, if his powder dries up. So he's leveraging his own position. If you have a great business, dude, do a cash flow analysis, never get liquidated, and yalla.
I think, you know, like a lot of people are talking about, like, you know, leveraging like your Bitcoin, borrowing against it. Like, if you really want to leverage up, like, you don't need to risk your Bitcoin. You can't just take like a personal loan and like just like then your risk is like your credit score and defaulting on that. But like, I think most of us can agree that, like, you know, your credit score is not going to matter much once Bitcoin's at $1 million and far higher.
Dude,
I fucked up
my credit score buying Bitcoin.
So I just wanted to add one thing that basically, yeah, when you have a loan already and there's nothing else for you to do, I see perfectly fine. Like, imagine you take a loan of 10K and then you buy BTC, and then you take a loan for another 7K, and then you buy BTC, and then you take another loan for 5K, and then you buy BTC. You get the idea, right? And then basically, if liquidation situation started to appear, if you know, and if you ever used, I don't know if any of you used Liquid sidechain, yeah? We have Liquid BTC and Liquid USDT. You can convert in 2 minutes. You can deposit USDT to the contract. In 2-3 fucking minutes, you will reduce your LTV ratio. No worries. You can liquidate one of the contracts and it will unfreeze for you the BTC. So it will take a little time for confirmation. Depends on the mempool. But you can start with a cheaper contract, unfreeze your collateral, and then just move forward and pay higher things, or, like, you know, increase your LTV ratio. If you're focused and you have all the notifications set, obviously you can get wrecked, you can get fucked, for sure. It's dangerous, yes. I don't recommend it to anyone, but from what I understand, from what, like, I am doing right now, maybe or maybe not, I don't know, but I think it can work, you know. And I don't see like it as a major problem, but I see it as a possibility to like increase your stack in the bull market.
Silence.
I think Sharon, I think you've talked to me, the double leverage thing. I think you've talked to me about that before.
Yeah. If you're going to leverage, like, do it all the way, you know, take whatever Bitcoin you're getting and they give you fiat and you buy more Bitcoin, and then you do it again and again with all the different platforms, and then you pay them off. I mean, look, I would rather leverage a business that's cash flowing than leverage Bitcoin directly until the point where I want to like live off my Bitcoin. But I think we're still early. Like, I don't know. I think it's like jumping the gun, where it's like, if you're doing it with a little bit of your bag, okay, experiment. It's always fun, like, whatever. But if you're thinking Bitcoin's going to the prices you're saying, like, dude, go through great lengths to do a multi-sig where no one's holding a signature for you, really, like, and definitely not where you don't have two out of the three. Like, I don't care what fiat they're giving you right now. If you need to do it so you don't get liquidated, I get it. But if you're doing it just based off of, you know, getting more Bitcoin, then do it all the way. Yeah, like leverage it multiple times.
Another thing, like, we're talking about, you know, $5 range attacks. Like, okay, it's a stupid idea, yeah? But basically, if you keep everything on your one device at home, people can get to it, right? But if you keep it on like some magic platform under multisig, you physically cannot reach it. So in some case, kind of, I can imagine that it's even safer, you know, to hold it on platforms like that.
I mean, to counter that, I mean, let's say I knew that I only had to pay off the rest of your loan to get 100% of your Bitcoin. And I just need you to get the escrow, like you said, I just literally put the USDT in whatever address, and then bang, $5 range attack. You know, it just depends.
Yeah,
it really depends, man. A good multi-sig setup, you know, is way harder than just like you have one key they have the other key, and then there's an escrow company with a third. I think Unchained Capital is an interesting product. I mean, when they stay around for a long time and LTVs get better, hey, you never know.
Ooh. Well, shit, guys. That was we didn't even get to the news, Jessifer, but I'm pretty sure we're hitting an hour already. Bap, did you want to jump in? I saw you unmute yourself.
No, let's get some news in, man.
I don't even think we're gonna get to the news today. Because
on the news.
Yeah, we had
number go up. That's the news.
Yeah, exactly. We had a whole list of stuff. I mean, at this point, like, I think we've said it before off air. I don't know if we said it on air much, but like Nick and Jessifer and I don't really consider ourselves a news source. If you want that, go to Nico's channel and watch Simply Bitcoin, because they're killing it. And you know, and then we'll defer to Marty Bent and Matt O'Dell and go watch a rabbit hole recap for the news. But we usually bring up the news as just something to talk about, so that the noobs out there, the new coiners and pre coiners, can get bullish with us, because there's always new news going on in the Bitcoin space, and sometimes it's nothing burgers for us. We're like, yeah, whatever, you know, like some of the stuff that happened this week are kind of nothing burgers, but for someone that's new to the space, it could maybe potentially seem like bullish news happening. But there's always bullish news for Bitcoin. And so I think Nick and Jessifer and I have concluded that we just like to answer the questions that people are asking and get a dope conversation of Bitcoiners going on, so that they can get in the minds of what Bitcoiners think. Because like we elaborated the whole show, you know, Bitcoiners fundamentally think differently than the average person out there. And sometimes you don't really grasp that if you're just talking about the news that's happening. But you definitely get that when you get, you know, Bitcoiners talking about why the news may or may not be important. And so, I don't know. Jessifer, do we have a time? I think we hit an hour. I'm going to defer to Jessifer today. He's my co-host. Jessifer, what
That's
do you
That's Joe
think?
Rogan this. 2 hours, 3 hours.
Dude, I think the conversation has been fire. And I'm really excited to actually kind of save some of these questions for next week. Because... yeah, I think if we start going into any of those, it's we can go on for a while.
Yeah.
But I mean, hugely bullish week as always, and I think the conversation has been fire.
Yeah, I agree. Winikus, we'll leave the crackhead hour off air for you, dude. We're not done. It's just...
guys, we're keeping this rolling. Whoever's listening, put your podcast on 2x. And there's your hour.
Oh man, I love you, dude. We're gonna stop this here, guys. Shouts out to all you guys. Hold on, let me check the chat.
Over under.
I know, I didn't forget this week. I didn't forget over under this week. But yeah, I guess
over under, how many loans are we taking out?
Oh man. Oh,
over 60k.
Woo! Oh, Jessifer, I just saw your tweet or your comment in here. And
we're
Ben
60, we're basically at 60.
And Ben, that wasn't the rumor mill. Jessifer, unmute yourself. Should we hit that, or should we wait till Nick comes?
I mean, if we're not doing news, I kind of want to hit that rumor, because okay. It might turn all into
right.
news.
All right, Jessifer, do you want to do it since you're taking the floor already?
Sure. So the word on the street is that Walmart is buying Bitcoin, and they're buying $1 billion.
Wait. According to who?
All right. So this is what we're hearing. Nick told us yesterday. I mean, and Nick's not here, so he's like, "Yo, let's get into the rumor mill." What happened was, I think it was American HODL hit up either Joe Rogers or the people over at Bitcoin Magazine, and he was like, "Yo, I just heard from an unnamed source that Walmart is buying Bitcoin," and Joe was like, "What the fuck are you talking about? Like, you're spreading bullshit." Cause you know, Joe lives in Arkansas, and I guess Walmart's headquarters is in Arkansas. And he's like, "All right, dude, like, what's your source?" And he's like, "I can't name my source." And then literally, I think the same day or a few hours afterwards, some old heads from Arkansas are hitting Joe up like, "Yo, we need to buy some Bitcoin." And, you know, like, I guess his
past.
Yeah, like, it was too coincidental for him to be like, "All right, this is weird." And then, and so Nick was like, "Yo, like, this is rumors, but it seems like it might actually be happening." And since the town that they're from is kind of a small town, it seemed, you know, a little too coincidental for it to maybe not be news. But like we said, it's all rumors, and no, we don't really know what's going on. But Nick and Jessifer wanted to talk about it and stuff. So I don't know, Nico, what do you think? Bullshit, or we'll see if it comes true next week. Two weeks from now.
Listen. I don't know. But if it is true, like, bullish. You know, like, goddamn, you know, pump the fucking price. It's weird though, bro. It's Walmart. Like, what the fuck?
Yo, let's front run Walmart news.
Would be crazy.
I would expect buying Bitcoin. But
remember,
dude,
Oracle though, that was a sham.
Yeah, I don't know. I do. Listen. Look,
bro, Nick be spreading rumors out here, bro.
Yeah, dog. No, he's not even here, and he's still spreading rumors.
I don't know. I've never relied on HODL as a source of. I don't know. What do you think, Optimus?
I mean, honestly, like, it's a rumor mill. I don't know. It just seemed a little too coincidental when Nick was telling me. I'm like, wait, what? Like, okay, that sounds a little too, like, you know, too much of a of it actually happening for it to just be like a bunch of random occasions. But who knows, you know, like, so much bullish news, then I can't see them not, you know. It's like, okay, another big ass company buying Bitcoin, like, whatever. So I don't know. I mean, we'll see in a few weeks. Ben, hit us.
I think it'd be awesome if they do like the Tesla route where they buy it and then start accepting it. Cause like if Tesla start or if Walmart starts accepting Bitcoin, like you can, like, if you, all you have to do is pay rent and like groceries, and that's like most of people's expenses. And so if you could, you know, spend your Bitcoin at Walmart, then like that's gonna be super nice where you can just like get paid in Bitcoin and almost have to not deal with anything.
Yo, if Walmart becomes fucking, if Walmart becomes a Bitcoiner, dude, I'm gonna be there every weekend, dude.
Let's go.
Hang out with Walmart.
Yo, I do want to bring one thing up. BlackRock today said that they bought, and apparently it was 6.15.
No, it wasn't.
It was
really?
That Bitcoin treasuries.
No way. Holy shit.
The world's largest asset manager just bought 6.15.
I thought that was a meme, bro. That was real?
I mean, there's a CoinDesk art.
Pretty sure
they disclosed like the amount of in USD, but I don't know if it's exactly 6.15, but it's...
That's crazy.
It is real.
It's like close enough to 6.15, so, or it's like, you know, it's like 6.13 or 6.17, where it's like, okay, they probably bought 6.15, and it's like, what the fuck?
Dude, that's
fucking
hilarious.
Yeah, they got 6.15 in the spread.
Yo, Ross Stevens is savage, bro. He's the one that, no, he doesn't do BlackRock. What am I saying?
No, he's NYDIG.
No, he does the yeah. Okay, my bad.
Dude, BlackRock is on Bitcoin treasuries with 6.15.
Let's go.
That's how you know plebs run this shit.
Yo, it's our meme world, and everyone is just living in it. Holy shit. That's hilarious.
I think that's why I wanted to hit the rumor mill, because, you know, we've got the predictive power of plebs. And, you know, some of the stuff that Nico has dropped in our, like, planning sessions, I was like, oh, okay, that's kind of a rumor. And then it came true. I was like, I don't want to miss this. I got to get this recorded.
You heard it here first, motherfuckers.
Walmart, dude, bought Bitcoin. Walmart buys Bitcoin, bro, Twitter's going to break.
Let's go.
All right. The it would Walmart make sense memes, to compete
with Amazon. Walmart memes, bro.
Yo, we're so fucking smart.
Hey, calm the fuck down, dude. It's a bull market. Everyone feels smart as shit. Then I'll humble you next year. Watch.
I'm running down to Walmart, bro.
I'm front running myself for next year. Fuck it. That's right.
I'm front running myself, front running myself.
There we go.
Front and earning all the loans.
I'm going to take a loan from Michael Saylor. Oh, I'm going to fuck it. I'm taking a loan from Michael Saylor if he's offering them later.
Go, Ben.
I said, don't forget, we also front ran the Teletubbies.
Yo, what the fuck was that about, bro? The Teletubbies are Bitcoin and
crap. That's like,
and Chipotle.
Oh my god.
Yeah. Did you hear that? You can win 25K in Bitcoin.
Yeah, I'm gonna eat at Chipotle every day now.
and did you guys see in their like contest rules they had like a hard fork clause?
Yeah, that was hilarious.
Dude, that's so funny.
It was absolutely hilarious.
Dude, we've penetrated Chipotle.
Dude, that's amazing. I didn't know that, but guac of that was extra went to good use, clearly.
Dang. Oh man. Oh well, shit. I'm glad we didn't cut that short, because that was actually fun. I'm dying over here. Oh man. All right. And hold on, guys. I got to say something. Shouts out to Ben coding this whole time. Why we're shitposting? you hear him clicking and coding the background the whole time. Legend, absolute legend.
I'm playing video games right now, but
all right, whatever, dude. Why you gotta freaking FUD me like that, dude?
He's either coding or shitposting.
He's
shit or looking at porn.
My three hobbies.
Me too, bro.
Oh my god. Alright. I'm dead. I'm too dead. Alright, guys. Before this spirals down to 3 hours of us just talking nonsense, we got over under. I think we're still
69.
Yeah, we're still on meme numbers. The current price is $59,030. Are we gonna hit 69,420 by next week? I think I'm gonna have to say.
Yeah.
I'm gonna have to say under, guys. Sorry.
Actually, wait, are you serious?
Actually, no. What am I saying? We're going to 100K by next week. It's gonna explode.
We just talked about Walmart buying. We're gonna fucking.
we just said. Yeah, exactly.
We're going exactly 69,420. It's gonna be stuck there.
That'd be absolutely hilarious.
I hope it's not. 420.69, where we like blow past it and don't get to cherish it.
Dude, we didn't get any time there. I was so mad.
So, all right, let me check the chat. Shoot it, Nico.
No, I was just gonna say we completely fucking skipped over 30K too, and 40K.
We had a little 30K like pullback,
dude, but not as long as we've been chilling at this level.
Yeah, everything happens in like 1 or 2 week intervals.
Yeah, we're
there's a nice
we're
going, little chart it, that says exactly what you're saying, Ryan. You know, there's like the 10 best trading days. The 10 best trading days are make up like half.
Dude, I have that chart ingrained in my head.
All right, guys. Everyone's saying over. We're going to the moon. Let's see if Hoddle's rumor mill will come to fruition next week, because if not, we're all dead. We're all wrecked. Bitcoin died at 60K, guys. Who would have thought?
I just want to say that I'm much more bullish on random plebs buying and like spreading the orange pill than any one company. And I think the, I don't know, said it a couple times. Just want to say it again.
Bullish. Let's go. I think that's the good way to wrap it up. Make sure you shill Bitcoin to everyone you know. And I'd agree with you.
Oh, we're keeping this going. We're going for records here. All-time highs.
The record, and we did like 3 hours in the beginning. I gotta
go. Dude, I remember that.
I gotta go eat. I gotta up
and in the spirit of Nick, thanks everybody for coming out. It was a great show. And we'll catch you all next week.
Yeah. See, that's why we pay Jess for the big bucks. All right, later.
Medium bucks.
Later, guys. Later. Oh, peace. Man.